In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, happy Thanksgiving Day weekend. It's nice to see so many visitors. Perhaps you're out to celebrate the weekend at the beach. Good to have you here. Thanksgiving, of course, was on Thursday, and that's followed by what we call Black Friday, Small Business Saturday. Tomorrow is Cyber Monday. And then at the end of everything on Tuesday, when you've spent all of your money, it's Giving Tuesday for the charities. People sometimes wonder, though, why don't we have a name for Sunday? Of course we do. It's the Lord's Day. People have proposed other names. One name which I will not propose to you is Short Sermon Sunday. Sorry, can't do that. But actually, our festivities began as Orthodox Christians not on Thursday, but the day before, on Wednesday, where we celebrated the entrance of the Mother of God into the temple, one of the 12 great feasts. The icon is in the center of the church. Anytime you see an icon in the center of the church, it's because something big is happening. A feast that is of great importance for us. On the day we spoke about the Troparion, the number one hymn for the feast, which begins, "Today is the prelude of the goodwill of God." We said that prelude can be defined as an action or an event serving as an introduction to something more important. A second definition, an introductory piece of music, most commonly an orchestral opening to the act of an opera, the first movement of a suite, or some kind of musical hymn that introduces a hymn that's even greater, that's forthcoming. We said how in the church we celebrate these feasts as preludes of what's to come. The entrance of the Mother of God into the temple is preparatory to Christmas. She's the virgin who's going to give birth, and she enters into the temple to become the temple. Likewise, the Feast of Pascha, our greatest feast, is a prelude to the Feast of the General Resurrection on the last day. The Incarnation, the coming of Christ, is a prelude to the second coming of Christ, when the kingdom of heaven is inaugurated in all of its fullness. And we sing these beautiful hymns recounting salvation history. But we're not people of the past. We're people living in expectation of what is to come, because it is even greater. Our celebration is prelude to that which is to come. And we live in this expectation, which is really for us as Christians, certainty. We know that what is promised is coming, because God has delivered so many times in the past. That is what he does. What he says becomes reality, and his word is true. In the Creed, that great confession of faith, at the very end we say, "I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." Amen. It's a true statement. So be it. We say amen after glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. Every doxology that we offer, we end with an amen. It is good as gold. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. That's actually what, if we remember last Sunday's gospel, the rich man forgot. He wasn't looking far enough into his future. He prepared only for this age, not for the age to come. For this life, not for the life to come. He didn't realize that God had given him an immortal soul. A soul that would live forever. And a soul that he would be responsible for forever. Whatever character he formed, he would take it with him. Whatever vices he had become disposed to, he would keep them. Whatever virtues he had acquired, he would retain them. The man had forgotten that. He had forgotten to prepare his soul for eternal life. And this theme of preparation is actually the second theme of the feast. The first is prelude. We look forward to what's to come. We celebrate what's already happened. But the other theme is preparation. The Mother of God, when she goes into the temple, she goes there to prepare herself. We sang on the beginning of the feast, Tuesday night in the Vesper service, "Receive, O Zechariah, her whom God's prophets proclaimed in spirit, and bring her into the holy temple, there to be brought up in reverence, that she may become the divine throne of the Master of all, his palace, his resting place, and his dwelling filled with light." And another hymn, "The Most Holy Virgin, the temple that is to contain God, is dedicated within the temple of God. She has been revealed as the mother of Christ who grants the world his great mercy." She becomes this instrument by which God is able to become man for the salvation of the world. We know from the tradition of the church that the Mother of God spent her time in the temple from about the age of 3 to the age of 12, maybe 13, in prayer, communing with God, in studying the Word of God, tending to the needs of the poor, working diligently with her hands, embroidery, and sewing, many other tasks like this, fasting to subdue the flesh to the spirit. And she becomes a great model for us in the Nativity Fast, where we focus on prayer, studying the Word of God, working diligently, tending charitably to the poor, and fasting. She becomes an example for us, so that we might be ready for Christmas, so that God could enter into our lives once again in a very special way. Not being born, of course, in the womb, but being reborn within the human heart. What we call the deep heart. Last Sunday, the man had a very shallow heart. He wanted to build his barns really high, but he didn't realize how deep his heart was. A heart so deep that it could be filled with God himself. He didn't realize how deep his heart was, but the Mother of God prepared herself, prepared her heart, and we prepare our heart to receive Christ. We can become, by grace, his throne, his palace, his resting place, his dwelling. We can become temples of the living God. Isn't that what the scriptures say? Don't you know you are the temple of the living God? That God will take up his abode within you? What a supreme privilege. There is nothing higher than that, than to become a temple of the living God. Not in the womb, but in the deep heart. Because in the deep heart is found the kingdom. The Lord says, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is not a place, a geographical territory, the state of Utah or Palestine. It's not some geographical place. It's a spiritual reality that unites all those people who have accepted God's reign in their lives, who have made Christ their king. They are the people who enter into the kingdom of God within their heart, because that's where Christ reigns. That's where God is present, in the human heart. We're made for this, by the way. We're made as the perfect vessel to be filled with God. Our mind is made for truth. He is truth. Our heart is made for love. He is love. Our will is made to do that which is good. He is supremely good. We were made for him. The deepest recesses of the human being are made to be filled with God. The fathers tell us that when we enter into the deep heart and encounter the grace of God, we experience his kingdom. And it's an experience that we wish would never end. How many of you had an experience like that? An experience that you wished never ended. Maybe a great vacation, or a good meal, or a bottle of wine, or something like this. It doesn't compare. Even the most noble of things that we could experience in this age don't compare to what God has prepared for those who love Him. Here's one experience that I think we could all see as really right close to the heights of human experience. Picture a soldier who is sent off to war. And it's a war that he's probably not going to come back from. He's a wife, his children, they're young, but not too young. They know their father. And he's gone for many years fighting this war. And they're trying to keep in touch with him, but it's difficult. And eventually they lose touch and they don't know what's happened to him. Yet he survives and he comes home. And he comes to the door, and he knocks on the door. And his family sees him and embraces him. That's a foretaste of the kingdom of God. When man is integrated with his neighbor in love. And that's only a foretaste, though, brothers and sisters. That doesn't encompass the full depths of what God has prepared for us. Because that love that they experience, that joy, that peace, that is actually meant to be experienced between not just family members on such occasions, but experienced between every single person who's ever come into existence. Not just family and friends and neighbors, not just the town that has the parade and the country that rejoices and the soldiers coming home. That love is to extend to everyone, even one's enemies. Imagine embracing an enemy in the same way that a family embraces their heroic father and husband. That's what the kingdom of God is about, brothers and sisters, being filled with that type of love. And when we experience that in some small degree, we know that it's good to be there. It's good to be in the Lord's presence, to see His glory, to experience His kingdom, to have His reign over us. And we wish, if possible, we could stay there. And that could be extended into all of the universe. That's what the apostles experienced on Pentecost. That is the commission to go and spread the gospel, to inaugurate people into this kingdom, to baptize them, to immerse them into this. The human heart was made for this. A love that knows no bounds, embracing and uniting all, especially our enemies, to experience a peace that passes understanding, a joy accompanied by flowing tears because of the goodness, mercy, power, wisdom, and love of God, an assurance that everything is as it should be, except that which pertains to our own repentance. There's more work for us to do. The knowledge that the hard things of life are there to purify us. The easy things are there for our consolation. And the certainty that all things are from the merciful God who will bring everything into its proper conclusion and ending when His salvific work is done in us. These are the moments that we live for as Christians. This experience of God in our lives, in our deep heart. We can't stay there forever and ever. Doesn't work that way. Those who have experienced that know it's a fleeting experience, but it's one that leaves such an imprint on us that reminds us who we are and what we're called to. That even when we don't have that experience, we still remember, we retain in our memory the heights to which we're called. The Mother of God enters into the temple, and she goes actually into the Holy of Holies, the place where the high priest went once a year. If only we could enter into this at least once a year to experience the grace of God reigning in our hearts. If we could do that once a year, we would be in great shape. My sisters, that is what we're preparing for, to be renewed in that experience this Christmas. There's something about time. It flows naturally. Christmas is coming whether we do anything or not. Whether you buy your gifts on Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, whatever, Christmas is going to come anyway. Christmas is going to come whether we prepare our minds, our hearts, our wills, our souls for Christ to come. It's going to happen anyway. Pascha is going to come, same thing. Christ will come back, second coming, general resurrection from the dead, the opening of the kingdom of heaven. It's going to come. We're assured of that. We've been given that certitude. We have to be people who prepare ourselves for it, who realize the supreme gift of life that we've been given, that we can choose our own destinies, our own characters. We can decide what we want to be filled with, how deep our heart wants to be. This is the time for us to rejoice in everything God has done, to look with expectation for everything He will do. But also it's a time for us to make sure that we are ready. Brothers and sisters, let us be ready to experience once again Christ reigning in our hearts, to experience once again what it is to be a temple of God. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.